Okay. We've been dealing with some things the last couple weeks, and I'll probably get back in Galatians someday. I don't know if I'll probably have time to get into it today, and if I've got time left at the end, we'll just probably wrap it up. But increasingly, we live in a day and age, and it appears that the state thinks they own you, mm-hmm. that they own your body.
Right.
Last week, we talked some about the beast, and maybe the week before, and how scriptures speak of the beast, and how throughout scriptures that the beast is often indicative of the empire or the state, and even in secular language we speak of Leviathan. The fellow who first used that word thought Leviathan was maybe a nice thing, but it wasn't. But it's kind of picked up. I think it's important for us to realize our body does not belong to the state. And I understand, and in purely political terms, if you will, you can talk about natural law, but really natural law means nothing unless there's the God of nature. And even some of the founders of this country who weren't necessarily Bible-believing Christians spoke of nature and nature's God. I mean, apart from something that's set down and given by God, there are no standards. There are no rules. There is no morality. And folks who claim to be atheists or agnostics and want to act like they have morality and all, but they'll still talk about, you know, natural law or human. It comes from somewhere. It comes from God. In the purely natural realm, you can say, you know, my body doesn't belong to the state. It belongs to me. No one, regardless of what your theological background is, no one has any right to force something to be injected into your body. No one, ever. It's interesting, there's been talk today, and I won't get into details about it, about Nuremberg Code and whatever. It's kind of interesting. We hung Nazis sort of for violating the Nuremberg Code, but there wasn't a Nuremberg Code until after we hung them. So I guess it was like, that would have been ex post facto, isn't that what they call it? The recognition in that was this, that there is natural law, you know, that they had violated natural law and that they had done egregious acts against humanity, crimes against humanity. Well, it's interesting, in the light of that, the Nuremberg Codes were founded, and they speak exactly and expressly to the sort of things that the American state is trying to push on people today. It specifically addresses the issue of forcing medical procedures on people. And it can only be done with informed consent. I do not consent. Beyond that, and more importantly, my body doesn't really belong to me. It belongs to God. It is a gift from God. And whether folks acknowledge that or not, it still is. And for those of us who are blood-bought children of God, it's doubly His. We were His and we were redeemed. A couple places in Scripture talk to this, and I just jotted down some verses and make some comments this morning. Romans 12, Paul writing to the saints in Rome, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I beg of you, I implore you. He's speaking to the saints there. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, some folks say, well, you know, my soul belongs to God, my spirit belongs to God, my body belongs to me. No. And Paul didn't say present your spirit, present your soul. They all belong to God, but he says present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is what we have. That is what we're accountable for. That is the thing we dwell in. After I'm dead, it doesn't really matter what they do for this body. Lord's going to raise it back up again. Reunite it at some point in time as we're glorified. Until that time, our spirit goes and dwells with Him. But our bodies are a gift of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is glorified man today. You know, that's kind of God became man. We're going to have a glorified body like unto His. Right now we have these old things. But they belong to God. And we're accountable to God for Him. And Paul says you're to present your body a living sacrifice. Some of the heretics used to say, you know, your soul, spirit, it doesn't matter what you do with your body. Well, and what Paul says, and what the scriptures say. You know, some folks say you can live like you want to because your body, what you do in your body doesn't matter. Paul says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what I have. That's something I'm able to present to Him. And to Him, wholly acceptable unto God. Holy, acceptable unto God. Listen, that word holy means to be separate, apart, to be different. It speaks of being set aside. Our body is set aside to God. Not to the state. Not to the medical establishment. Not to big pharma. But, you know, folks, make up your own mind. I know the folks here, in case somebody else should happen to listen in, and some of this offends you, well, maybe you need to be offended. You know, but the decision you make is between you and God, and you're going to be accountable for that. But I think these things need to be said, and we're living, and these are the things we're addressing today. And Leviathan is evil. And I believe Big Pharma is evil. And I believe that the bureaucratic medical profession from on high is evil. All right, I have time to get into all that. But the Lord gives us things. You know, there's, for most things, there's a natural cure if you can find it. There's other tried and true things that are based on natural things. Not manipulating your DNA for crying out loud. But that's, we don't let Diane preach, but that's something Diane will have to address at one of our meetings. That's not my bailiwick. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It just makes sense. That's what you owe. That's what you're made for. That's what you're created for. That's what you should be doing. It's just reasonable to do that. It's not above and beyond. As General Lee used to say, you know, duty is the most sublime word. You can never do more. And you should never seek to do less. And it's reasonable service. It's our duty. And then he goes on, and be not conformed to this world. Don't go along to get along. Get along to go along. However that phrase says. I think go along to get along. Don't be conformed to this world. You know, the world says you've got to do this, you've got to do that. No, you don't. You've got to be faithful.
Right.
And be not conformed, be not shaped into the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, we're to prove that. To prove it to ourselves, to prove it to others. And I think this speaks as well to our testimonies before others. I talk about these things to anybody who will listen to me. Some of them that don't want to. But that's all right. I'm not accountable for them, but I am accountable to live a testimony, to live a life before them that proves, that shows forth what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My life should be what He says, not what the state says. You could throw in all kinds of politics, and it doesn't matter. I could say Joe Biden. I don't think Donald Trump would be any different, but it doesn't matter. Not what the state says, but what God says. The perfect will of God. Not the will of the state, but the will of God. Then he goes on a couple other verses there. I'll just read. It says, "For I say," or maybe I won't just read, "but for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." We're not all the same. Well, then I could preach a whole thing here on that, where there's CRT, what is that? Race theory. Critical race theory, see? We're different. God made us different. We have many members in one body, and he's speaking in the context here of Christians in the church, but it's true in the larger context. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." And I thank the Lord for his church here in Archer, as small as we may be. You all are an encouragement and a reason to keep on going, and appreciate you. Paul addresses the same topic a little bit differently when he wrote to the Christians in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6, in beginning of verse 13. He says, "Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them." Again, this body is temporarily a gift of God. And but we're accountable for it. He goes on. "Now the body is not for fornication." And he speaks specifically to that sin, to that issue, but I think, again, it would apply to others. The body is not for medical experimentation. "The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord." Okay, again, in the context of that, keep in mind that your body belongs to Him. Folks say, "Well, you know, maybe I'll go ahead and do it, you know, give it a chance." Some people seem to be living through it. Some people seem to be enduring things that the state's doing to them. No, the body's the Lord's. "For the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." Isn't that a little matter? It's not something that's of no consequence. It's an important matter. In this life, this body is, again, what the Lord's given us, what we possess, what we dwell in. We're accountable for it. And we're to be stewards of it because, again, it's not really ours. Not a abortionist and say, you know, my body, my choice. Well, yeah, no. On several levels. Because there's a whole other human being involved in that equation. But even beyond that, it's not your body, your choice, it's his body. It belongs to him. For the Lord, the body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Not something you can just slough off. Say it doesn't matter. Again, you can apply this to all sort of things. The way we take care of ourselves. The way we live. Understanding is a gift of God. And we should treat it as such. Verse 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will raise us up. Raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Again, Paul in context, speaking of sexual immorality and whatever, but again, the broader application is, again, I belong to Christ. I'm Christ. I'm not the state. So I'm going to take my body and make it a member of the state. And harlot's probably too kind of a word for the state. Paul says, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid! That's some of the strongest language Paul uses in the scriptures. It says, God forbid, again it though. And even then, it doesn't actually contain the word God, but it's assumed in that phrase. It's, may it never be. May it not be thought of. It's an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Again, you can't have it both ways. You can't have two masters, the Lord said. If you're going to be the slave to the state, you're not going to be the slave to the Lord. And he's the one that we're to be a slave to. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not? Again, speaking to the saints. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own? Christians are indwelt of the Spirit of God. We should be kind of careful about what we put in there with the Spirit, don't you think? What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Well, I guess it's not my body, my choice. You're not your own! For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is how people, you know, they say, well, I'll be the church in spirit. And it's like, you know, I don't know that I want you here in spirit if you're not going to bring your body along with you. In fact, we can't separate those things in this life. You know, our body, our spirit, our soul, you know, they kind of hang around together. At some time there'll be a separation and we'll go home to be with the Lord until he calls forth the body and the resurrection, the glorification. But again, that verse is always, folks will talk about that, you know, in my spirit I do this, and in my spirit I do that. And listen, Paul says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. A lot of folks sometimes say, you know, yeah, I'm okay with God and Jesus and everything. Don't worry about that. And are they glorifying God in their body? We talked about a fellow this morning in the fellowship. You know, these people getting these tattoos and piercings and all these things. And they say, well, it doesn't matter. Well, kind of sounds like Paul thinks it matters. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. I mean, does that junk glorify God? Especially since it's totally contrary to what he says in his scriptures. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Really, you know, in this life, we're not really capable of separating those things. Yes, the spirit is more important. Yes, you know, if we're laid flat and disabled, we can still glorify God in our spirits. But in this life, we're to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirit. And I think that, again, means we're to exercise care. What we allow to be done to that body. What we allow to be injected into that body. And then I mentioned, and I had a bunch of verses here. I won't get to them all. Maybe we'll do it next week. Maybe we'll do something else. But I did want to mention, we talked about these things we're facing today. These issues that we're facing. And that young man, Daniel. You know, he was in a circumstance where basically, it wasn't being injected with a needle, but it was being, having the king's stuff forced on him. The king's food, the king's drink. Here's what that young man did, Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Listen, we live in difficult times. If you say, well, I'm going to wait and decide about that vaccination next week. I'm going to wait and decide about that vaccination when the time comes. That verb tense here tells us that Daniel purposed, he had already purposed in his heart. Daniel had purposed in his heart. He'd already made that decision. It wasn't a split-second thing. When they said, Daniel, I want you to eat this stuff that's, you know, connected with idolatry and these other things. And Daniel said, nope. I already decided I'm not going to do that. But he did it in such a way. He kind of goes against my nature, I understand. But he applied for an exemption. You know, they said, you're going to do this. He said, I tell you what, let's try this. And we won't go back to all verses, but he said, let's try this. Let's give it a shot. He talked to the eunuch that was over him, subaltern. And he said, how about between you and me, let's give this a shot. And you let me eat what I want to eat, what God would have me to eat, and you do with the others what you will, and let them do what they will. And let's see how it turns out. And he said, well, I guess I can do that a little try, as long as I don't get caught, basically. And so we found out Daniel was blessed and more healthy than all the rest of them. Eventually, you know, elevated to prominence and to a position. And I mean, he could have, when they first brought that in, and he said, I ain't eating this junk, I threw it on the floor. But then his name would have been Gregory. And then probably it would have been mud. But Daniel tried, and the scriptures tell us as much as possible to live at peace with all men. So we should, without compromise, you know, seek to I'm not sure that there's going to be a place for compromise for that much longer. I mean, I don't know that there's going to be an option for doing it. Right now, they say, well, you got this and that, and then they try to overturn that.
Right.
And I could... I don't want to get into all the details, but it's just amazing. These idiots in Alachua County, and they've in order not to lose their funding, at first they said, okay, well, you can have parents couldn't opt out, but they could opt out with a doctor's excuse. And then the doctors gave exemptions. They had six or seven of them. And then these school board people who know nothing about medicine, they say, well, these are all from the same doctor. We're going to have to look into this. Who are they going to look into? They said you got to have a doctor's exemption. They gave them a doctor's exemption. But now the rules change. Some people you can't live at peace with. And they won't be reasoned with or dealt with. And it comes to the time, Ephesians 6, verse 13, and you know the whole passage about the armor of God, but Paul summarizes in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Say, I'm not sure if I can do that. And pray for God's grace to do that. You know, sometimes I think that way too. I think, here I get up here and I say all these things. I'm kind of backing myself into a corner. Yeah, that's where I think I'm supposed to be. And sometimes, you know, I'm painting myself into a corner. Yeah, I think that's where I'm supposed to be for some reason. And maybe that helps me to stand better. I don't have nothing else to do anyway. No place to run to anymore. Paul says, take on the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. And I think the time has come for Christians to do some standing. Some not conforming, some not consenting, some not complying. And true, and we spoke on these verses, so just briefly. The would-be controllers are going to attempt to make your life as miserable as possible.
Right.
They're going to do everything they can. And I see this week they're talking about reducing people's medical coverage if they won't get the jab. I read an article today or yesterday about a lady that was denied critical cancer treatment because she wouldn't get the jab. They're going to make your life miserable. They want to try to make it impossible. In the physical life, they might have the power to do that. Got to have a vaccine passport. You got to have, eventually, I believe you're going to have an implanted chip. It's so much easier. And you say, yeah, but that's not going to be a way. Think where you were just 2 or 3 years ago. 3 years ago, would you ever have imagined what's going on? That we could be here, that these things could be going on, that these demands and requirements would be being made. I don't think it'll take long. And it's going to be so much more convenient. That way they'll know for sure. Saw that Cuomo guy, I guess he's still in office. He'd given himself 14 days to resign. He's up there directing all the stuff about the hurricane that's coming in. You know, and they'll try to make your life miserable. Get an implanted chip. And of course, he and and the mayor of New York are the ones pushed through all these. They're telling people you got to have proof of vaccination to go sit in a restaurant. And eventually you go shop. And, oh yeah, we read that passage in Revelation 13:16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell. Can you see that coming?
Yes.
Say he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And you know what, folks, and submit and go along with that? Things are going to go along just hunky-dory for a while. Revelation 14:9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They shall have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. I'm kind of thinking, you know, we're getting close. I'm not saying all this stuff is that yet. I don't know all those things. I think it's going to be a deliberate decision that people make. You know, it's going to be either this or that. And listen, if we're redeemed, we know the Lord's going to keep us. But it doesn't mean we don't have to struggle and fight and stand. We do. And by His grace, we will. And so, I don't pretend to understand and know all these things and have all the answers. But I know the one that does.
Right.
And he sits on his throne. And I pray that he give me and you grace to stand. And some things have become pretty clear to me. Maybe they're not to you. You pray for clarity. And if you think my clarity's messed up, you pray that the Lord give me some clarity. But I think I understand some things. I don't think it's, as I say, it's not rocket surgery. But I think I can see some things here. And I think by His grace, I intend to stand. Let's take our hymnals this morning, and we'll turn to page number 31. If you like, you can stand as we sing this closing hymn. I love Him. And we may have sang this once or twice before. It's to the tune of Old Black Joe. And
by His grace I know.
and fears within. Once was afraid to trust a loving God, but now my guilt is washed away in Jesus' blood. I love Him, I love Him, because He first loved me, and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once I was bound, but now I am set free. Once I was blind, but now the light I see. Once I was dead, but now in Christ I live, to tell the world of peace that He alone can give. I love Him, I love Him, because He first loved me, and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Father, thank You for this day, a gathering of Your saints. Lord, a fellowship around Your word. Thank You, Lord, for those things You've been pleased to show and teach us. Father, may we have Your grace to prove those things, demonstrate, to live those things. Father, help us to be ever aware that our bodies belong to Thee. We're accountable to Thee. We're indwelled of the Holy Spirit, and we're to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. Not unto man, not unto the state, but unto Thee. Lord, may it be. Lord, we pray for our brothers and our sisters in the Lord, for our sister churches. Pray for wisdom and discernment, strength and courage in these days. Lord, we pray for those that need healing, those that need comfort, or that You might give each peace that You alone can. Lord, thank You again for the salvation that was wrought in our Savior. Thank You for bringing us together as Your church. Go with us as we go our way this week, and use us each to Your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.